We have been talking tradition every Sunday in December, and part of the tradition of this church on Christmas Eve, all 8 years at least that I have been connected to First United Methodist Church, is to read through that original Christmas story. You can find that original Christmas night on Luke chapter 2 of either your Bible or the Pew Bible. And I invite you to open that up at this time and let's read through what we can learn about that original Christmas that is relevant for us 2,000 years later today. As you're turning your Bibles to, I'll make mention, there are animal crackers in the side of the pew. That's for the little ones, okay? So if you see an adult, just smack his hand away from that. Pass it to a row that has a little one. This might be the ideal time to utilize those animal crackers. Why animal crackers? We're talking manger, right? We're talking stables. We're talking Jesus' birth. And so animal crackers seem like a fitting staple for a stable in that way, to teach the faith to our little ones in that way. So as animal crackers are shuffling, pages are shuffling as well. If someone gets to Luke chapter 2, if you could shout out that page number, that would help all of us out. 889. 889, you can find Luke chapter 2. Let's read what took place that original Christmas night, nearly 2,000 years ago. It says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came to be delivered. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you: you'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' The angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds what they told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." It's the word of God, and it's the story of our lives. And amidst the story of our lives, there's a lot of happenings that original Christmas night, isn't there? You've got an unwed pregnant mother that was sure to cause a family scuffle in some way, shape, or form. You've got shepherds doing their job when all of a sudden their job is interrupted by a special announcement by God. You've got neon lights, right, of no vacancy flashing at the inn, and neon lights outside of the glory of the Lord shining around and all this. All the details of what transpired that original Christmas night, there is one detail that is mentioned three different times. Now, you need to know something about Scripture. This is a day and an age of text before Twitter, okay? And so if you want to emphasize something, you don't go all cap locks. You don't go exclamation points. They didn't have those in Greek. The way to emphasize something was by repeating something. The same's true today, right? Grandma tells you a story. She says it three times. Either grandma's got Alzheimer's, right? Or she's really trying to tell you something. And let me tell you, an all-knowing God does not have Alzheimer's. He's really trying to tell us something whenever he mentions something in succession, in repetition. And so did you catch that detail that is mentioned three different times, a seemingly insignificant detail, but that God makes mention of in three times in this Christmas story? I'll give you just 2 seconds. The kids are restless. It's a manger. It's a manger. Three different times. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Second time, today in the town of David, this is the angel's announcement. A Savior's been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This is going to be a sign for you. You're going to find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Thank you. And last time there, they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a
manger.
You guys got this in the front. You guys need to move to the front rows. You get it smarter in that way. Manger. Three different times mentioned. And so why a manger? And why so significance of a manger itself? You know what a manger is, right?
Yeah.
Help us out, front row. What's a manger? Did you hear? Ox feed on in hay. It's a feeding trough. You're exactly right. And I don't know if you've seen a manger. Many of you probably don't know this about me. Before I moved to the metropolis of Bellevue, I was a country boy. Grew up in East Townsend. I give that shout out because some of you guys there are from the big city of Collins. Collins Western Reserve School District in that way. Grew up on East Townsend. As a matter of fact, my next door neighbors was an alpaca farm. True story, not making this stuff up. That's an animal, for those of you that don't know what an alpaca is in that way. And then even before moving to Bellevue, we relocated to Kentucky. Horse country down there, right? I've seen a manger or two. And this is what I know about mangers as a country boy. Maybe you country boys can share this with me. I've never seen a clean manger. Like a feeding trough for animals. It's filled with animal drool, right? Salivating at the next savory meal. It's got half-eaten, regurgitated pieces of morsel as it's diving in for the next one. And there's this important rule of human consumption and animal consumption. And that is, what comes in must come out. And usually it takes place near the same direction. Like, you've ever been in the county fair? How much in the manger is right next to it, within a footstep away? Excrement, right? And yes, parents, I use the word excrement for young minds, okay? You know what I'm talking about, right? Mangers are messy places. Mangers are messy places. And so why? Of a God who pays attention to the details and doesn't lose sight of a single detail and even uses this detail as a telling sign of this Savior that's born. Why a manger? Of all places. Well, we'll be unpacking that the next 3 years together on Christmas Eve as we talk about a manger. But the first point that I want us to understand about mangers and the significance and the sign of it is that a manger means a mess. The manger means a mess. Drool, saliva, excrement, it's all around there. And yet, this was the site where the Savior was born and laid to rest there. Why this site of all places? I think God is trying to tell us something about the Savior born. And that is that this Messiah is not afraid of life's messes. Did you hear that? This Messiah is not afraid of life's messes. As a matter of fact, his opening night was in a symbol of a mess itself, a feeding trough that is known for a mess. And when he got older, this didn't change. Jesus was known of interacting, of hanging out with what maybe other people would call a mess. As a matter of fact, religious folk in Jesus' day called him out for this. There's a conversation with some religious folk of Jesus' day that Jesus was having dinner at the messy folk's house. It was Levi. He was a tax collector. He would have been that messy label there. And in the course of this dinner conversation, some people approach Jesus and say this. The Pharisees saw this, verse 11. They asked his disciples, why does this Messiah that was laid in a manger that opening night that is now an adult, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? AKA, why does he hang out with messy folk? And you know the response Jesus gives him? He says, on hearing this, Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And if you know the storyline of Scripture, Jesus is setting these people up that he's talking to, right? Because the punchline of Scripture is that there ain't one righteous person. As a matter of fact, the Bible will say, no one is righteous, no, not one. famous verse in the Bible, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. AKA what Jesus is saying is, I've come not for the healthy, but the sick, and y'all sick. Y'all need me. Some were thinking they didn't need him. But those sinners, those tax collectors, those Levites that he was interacting with realized their need for him. You see what Jesus is doing? He's not afraid of the mess. He's not afraid of the mess. And he's going to hang out with a Samaritan. He's going to hang out with Zacchaeus, a wee little man. He's going to hang out with people betraying him on the last night of his life. And all these different settings is a reminder, repeat time after time, that this Messiah is not afraid of the messes of life. And so I got a personal question to ask you this Christmas. Can we get personal just for 2 seconds? Then we'll light some candles, we'll sing some more songs, we'll go on our way. But let me ask this personal question. Do you have a mess? And what is your mess? And if we're answering it honestly, at least in Scripture's honesty of life, we've got a mess, right? And we wear our mess in different ways. For some of us, it's an addiction or a habit or an attitude. For other of us, it's a lifestyle or a relationship. We wear our brokenness in different ways, but Jesus reminds us that all have sinned, all are a mess, and all need this Messiah in some way, shape, or form to come. And the good news that Christmas announces is that God's not running away from your mess. As a matter of fact, he's stepping into your mess. Not to leave you in your mess. There's a church, an Acts 29 network there. It's a network of churches that has this common saying, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. You've heard that saying, right? It's okay to not be okay, but it's just not okay to stay that way. And we say it this way in this church, God's love always meets us where we are, but he doesn't want to leave us where we are. The manger is a perfect example of that. That night where Jesus was laid in a manger that day, you ever seen a picture of it nowadays? It's a church of a nativity, and this is a site that's traditionally thought to be believed of where Jesus was laid to rest that original night. It's changed a lot, right? You might say it's transformed. It's a place of worship now. It's sparkly. It's glittery, and we can go into that one way or the other, but the result, the bottom line is Jesus transformed that place. That place's significance was tied to Jesus' birthplace, and it's transformed now, even on the outside. And that's just a visual calling card of what he wants to do with all of us. How this Messiah can be born in our mess and transform us. It's kind of like a first responder. A first responder runs into danger to save others out of that danger, right? They enter into the mess of a situation to pull people out of that situation and into safety and into health. That's exactly what Christmas announces. God has entered a dangerous situation, a fallen, broken world with fallen, broken people, with you and me. And yet he entered that world not to become a part of the problem, but to save us, to free us, to forgive us, to lead us into an eternal life with eternal healing and his eternal presence. Christmas announces good news for great joy for all of us. Why? Because our Savior was willing to be born in a mess so that he could make a difference in your life and my life. That's good news. That's worth singing about. That's worth worshiping. That's worth talking about for 2,000 years. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing a song about a manger. How fitting, huh? We're going to sing verse 1 and 3, not all 7 verses, but we need to be reminded that our Messiah was born in a mess with you and me in mind. Amen? Away in a manger, stand as you're able as we sing verse 1 and 3 of this song.